Now, I would like you to turn to Acts chapter 6. I'm going along quite a simple line tonight. I'm going to speak on Stephen. I'm going to speak on the characteristics of a man who is filled with the Spirit, as seen in Stephen. I don't hear very much ministry. I have never heard a lot of ministry amongst us on being filled with the Spirit. Well, there's one thing you'll be quite clear about, that I don't accept the idea of a second experience I don't accept the idea of an emotional experience that some people claim to have had, that they think has put them on a higher level of spirituality than those who don't profess to have it. But I believe there is such a thing as living a life that is under the full control of the Holy Spirit. But yesterday's filling doesn't do for today. Being filled with the Spirit is what we read in Ephesians 5 and 18. Now I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 6. And I might say that Stephen is one man in the New Testament who is said to be full of the Spirit, which I judge means that it was the tenor of his life to be under the Spirit's full control. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians. Now those are actually Jews, born in the land, but speaking Hebrew or Aramaic. Those two languages were very close together, or we might say akin to each other. Against the Hebrews, now, you'll pardon me, I made a little mistake there. The Grecians were Jews who were Greek-speaking from outside the land. I got the order reversed. And the Hebrews were Jews born in the land speaking Hebrew or Aramaic. You'll pardon that mistake. Because their widows were neglected or overlooked in the daily ministration, that is, the distribution of food. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason or fit that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." That means, of course, distributing the food. It's not literally serving tables, but distributing the food, or some even suggest money being distributed. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report," men of reputation, "full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now you'll notice prayer comes before the ministry. If my ministry or yours is going to have effect and power, it must not come from a prayerless soul. Prayer is so important before the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And that meant, of course, they expressed their fellowship with the choice of the church. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith. Now, if you have a revised version, you'll see that the translation there is full of grace. I think that reliable scholars would accept that word as conveying the thought that's intended, full of grace and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, I want you to look at verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, I could read more, but I just want to read in Acts 22 and verse 20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And that last verse, of course, is the language of Paul the Apostle. That's what he said. And so tonight I want to speak on Stephen. And Paul said, thy martyr Stephen. The characteristics of a spirit-filled life. Now, as we consider Stephen and see what characterized him, we shall see what it will characterize us if we are controlled by the Spirit of God. You know, when it's all boiled down, a man who is filled with the Spirit is a man who is obedient to the Word of God. Because that's how a man yields to the Holy Spirit and gives him control, by being obedient to the Word of God. Likewise, when I'm obedient to the Word of God, I am acknowledging and recognizing the Lordship of Christ. I am obedient to the word of the Lord. So the three things are very much involved. Obedience to the Word of God, living by the control of the Spirit and acknowledging the Lordship of Christ. Now, the ministry tonight is quite simple, but I hope it will be effective. In as far as it will result in a spiritual improvement in the way that we're living for God. He was a man who loved not his life unto death. And the secret of Stephen's life and ministry was the power of the Spirit of God in his life. And it's God's will that we live as controlled by the Holy Spirit. There's one thing, if there's unconfessed sin in our lives, we can't expect to be filled with the Spirit. If there's pride in our hearts, that's another thing that's going to hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives. I was reading today in Ephesians 4 those words, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." And it's so easy to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And we cannot expect to be controlled by the Spirit of God if we are grieving the Spirit. "Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed for or unto the day of redemption." The indwelling Spirit of God, the permanent indweller, is the earnest of the Spirit, the earnest of the inheritance, a foretaste of blessedness to come. But, you know, in the context of Ephesians 4 and 30, we have many things that will grieve the Spirit of God. And if we begin with verse 25 of Ephesians 4, lying, giving place to the devil, stealing, corrupt communication proceeding from our mouths, bitterness, wrath, which means sudden anger, which means settled anger, and clamor, that's the noisy assertion of our rights or wrongs, evil speaking, all malice, spite, evil intention to injure other people. But what is going to delight the Spirit of God is, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And then we run down into the next chapter, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. There shouldn't be a hint of these things among God's people. That's what it means. Let it not be named among you as becometh saints. There shouldn't even be a hint of moral impurity. Filthiness, foolish talking, talking like it's about unclean things. That's what that means. Jesting, that's coarse jesting. And if we are going to know what it is, be controlled by the Spirit of God, we must see that we don't grieve Him. Now, the first thing I want you to think about Stephen, as a man who was full of the Spirit, which I do mean that it was the tenor of his life to be filled with the Spirit. That was the tenor of his life. Yet he was honest with what? He was a man of reputation. I was reading down chapter 6 that someone wrote these words. Stephen was reputable because he was of honest thought. He was spiritual because he was filled with the Spirit. But he was practical because he was full of wisdom. He knew how to polish. For wisdom is the resolute and right application of knowledge. And of course, wisdom is seen in the life of a man who applies the Word of God, the knowledge of the Word of God, to his life and to any circumstance he might be in. Now, a man who's filled with the Spirit is a man of reputation. And I've met people that have said, I'm filled with the Spirit. Because I'm sure a Spirit-filled man wouldn't say, I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm filled with the Spirit, but then I find they're not of honest report. You know, a man whose life is controlled by the Spirit of God is of honest report. You know, we New Testament believers are permanently indwelt by the Spirit. We can't grieve Him away, but we can grieve Him. And that's one way in which we are different from Old Testament believers. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, not only that the body of Christ might be formed, but that believers might be permanently indwelt by the Spirit, or permanently indwelt by Him. I hope that all of us here tonight are of honest report. Have you ever heard anyone say, he's a Christian? Well, if he's a Christian, I don't want to be one. We should all be of honest report. And we will be if our lives are brought into line with the Word of God and we are living as the Word of God says we should live. Then we shall be controlled by the Spirit of God. And it's not my purpose to go into this tonight, but if you put Ephesians 5 and 18 into the context, it'll show you how a Spirit-filled husband and a Spirit-filled wife will act toward each other, how they'll conduct themselves as parents, and how the children will conduct themselves and be obedient to their parents. And as you go down into chapter 6, how employers will act and how employees will act. I always like to put portions into their context. It's really very necessary to do this. Keep you from wrong interpretations of Scripture. Now, I want you to notice something else about Stephen, that he was ready to work as the Lord appointed. Now, when you read in chapter 7, you cannot but acknowledge that Stephen had great ability to open up the Word of God. He seems to have had teaching ability. Why had he lived? One wonders, would he have been another Apostle Paul? And we might wonder why God allowed him to be cut off. But as God's way is perfect,
why did John the Baptist have so short a ministry? Some say 6 months. A missionary goes out to the mission field full of zeal for the Lord. He's not there very long when he dies. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways than our ways. And we can only say he doeth all things well. We'll understand it better by and by. But imagine now, when it's a matter of these 7 men serving tables, looking after the distribution of food, or possibly money, for the widows. Of course, there was murmuring by the Grecian widows against the Grecians against the Hebrews, because the Grecian Jews said that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food or money. So we shouldn't think that murmuring among God's people is something new. And the 12 apostles evidently decide they don't want to look after this business. They want to carry on with the ministry of the Word of God, for there was tremendous need for ministry. So the brethren were told to look out among them 7 men of honest report and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom who could be appointed over this business. But the apostle says, we are going to give ourselves continually to prayer. And the deaconing, that's the word deaconing there, the deaconing of the word. And among the 7 men was Stephen. Now, Stephen might have said, but brethren, you know, I have ability to teach. But he was willing to do a menial job if the Lord would have him do it. You see, that shows the humility of this Spirit-filled man. He's prepared to look after widows, if that's what God would have him do. And maybe there's some job that you might think is quite menial, but the Lord would have you do it. You know, if you're controlled by the Spirit, you'll be prepared to do the menial thing, if it's God's will. You may have a Sunday school class. There are only a few scholars in it. But you don't know, you might have a Charles Haddon Spurgeon in your class. Or someone who's going to be a great missionary and win many souls to Christ. Now, I want you to notice something else. Stephen was gracious under provocation. Oh yes. Oh, they hatched a wicked plot. They disputed with him. And they had false witnesses to witness against him. And make false charges against him. But oh, how gracious. He was full of grace. We had a man in the assembly in Ireland where we were in fellowship. He was very faithful to the truth. He loved the truth. and he loved the assembly. He wasn't what they would call in Ireland a willy wagtail, but he was such a gracious man. I revere the memory of Thomas Campbell. He was an example. I aspire to be like Thomas Campbell. I wanted to be like him as far as he followed Christ. Stephen. You know, in verse 15 of chapter 6, it says that all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. You know, there's a mysterious beauty to be seen in the man who is fully committed to God. I saw a man on a train once, sitting opposite me in a car, and I said to myself, there's a Christian. And after a while I said to him, I've been looking at you. You're a Christian, aren't you? He said, yes. I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary with the China Inland Mission. There's something about that man. You know, there's something about a man who lives near to God. There's a mysterious beauty about his countenance. The late Harold St. John was having meetings in Ballywalter in Northern Ireland. He took strolls up the street. Do you know what the neighbors asked the Christians in fellowship in Ballywalter? Who's the godly man who's walking up and down the street who is preaching at your hall? What's his name? What about the faces of these ungodly men? What a contrast there was between the face of Stephen and their faces. Were full of bitterness and hatred. And oh, what a message. Grace is under provocation. See the way he dies. His whole demeanor and attitude is most admirable. How do you act when untrue things are said about you? Things that aren't true. Are you ready to stand up for yourself and, you know, put in a shot or two that'll make the one who's saying untrue things really smart? Or are you like the Lord Jesus? Mark you, I'm preaching this to myself. Are you like the Lord Jesus? When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed his cause to him that judgeth righteously. Did you ever get down on your knees? I have. And you've said, Lord, I wish I were more like thy son. I didn't act in a very Christ-like way, did I? And I'm sorry for it. I confess my sin. I can count on the Lord's forgiving me without my asking him to do it. You know, this man was a channel through which the power of God could work. We sing channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. But are we really channels? Work and flow? Or we read that Stephen was full of power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. And although the power of God won't work through you and me to do signs and miracles and wonders, nevertheless, God's power can flow through us and will if we are living under the Spirit's control. Is there some unconfessed sin in your heart and life tonight? There's like some big boulder that's holding back the fountain. Is it a boat of venture? And does that meet with some response in your heart as you say yes? Will you, by God's grace, put this thing away? There's one thing about Stephen. He was full of the Scriptures. And of course, if you compare Colossians 3 verse 16 and down a little way after that with Ephesians 5 verse 18 and follow on down a verse or two, you'll see that to be filled with the Spirit and to know what it is for the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly, have very strikingly similar results. The filling of the Spirit and the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. Strikingly similar results. Now, I'm not reading those verses tonight. Read them at your leisure if you haven't thought of this before. Possibly you have. But here's the point. A Spirit-filled believer is a Scripture-filled believer. The Word of God is dwelling in him not only in quantity, but in quality. And not only does he feed on the Word of God, but he's allowing the Word of God to control him. You see, that's what I'm realizing more and more every day. I've got to allow the Word of God to control and to mold my life. Well, as you read his message here in chapter 7, you can't but be impressed. He gives a very wonderful review of Jewish history. And he selects two characters more especially, Moses and Joseph. And he shows how that these were raised up by God, both of them. And they were both rejected. But they were both exalted to be deliverers and saviors. And of course the analogy with Christ is quite obvious. Our Lord raised up. Our Lord rejected. But our Lord exalted to be a savior and a deliverer. And then, I don't know whether Stephen intended to stop his message at what we would say is the end of verse 50. But he makes a very definite attack on Israel's leaders. He tells them they've resisted the Holy Spirit. They have become the betrayers and the murderers of God's righteous one. And they have received the law by the mediation of angels, but they haven't kept it.
And the result was, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. A man who was full of the scriptures. You know, that's, my dear brethren, what we've got to cultivate. Reading the Word of God. Enjoying the Word of God. Feeding on it. Musing upon it. You know, it's wonderful when you're reading the Word of God and musing upon it what the Lord will reveal to you. And then allowing the Word of God to control you. Oh, he believed the Scriptures. He preached them. He preached the Christ of the Scriptures. And he's very pointed when addressing his audience. He's not speaking in a very general way so that they won't feel the sharp point of the Scriptures. But he says to them, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do ye. You know, some preaching is so general that the individual doesn't seem to feel the impact of God's Word. God help us to be faithful and not to beat about the bush, but to get right down to business in preaching, whether it's the gospel or ministry for God's people. And none of this business of fitting your message to suit the audience. This is an assembly which would appreciate a certain line. I'll give it to them. And maybe it's the message that's needed by some other assembly, far more than the one addressed. Another thing about this man is that he was sustained in the hour of trial. They gnashed on him with their teeth, we read in chapter 7, 54. But notice, he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You know, a man who is filled with the Spirit is a man who's occupied with an exalted Christ. And you know, that's the secret of holy living, is heart occupation with Christ. We all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The more we are gazing upon him, and the more we're occupied with him, the more we'll become like him. And maybe the reason why we're not more like the Lord is because we haven't been occupied with him as we should have been. I've said this more than once. I love the assembly. God led me into the assembly through his word. And I have firm convictions. But what about our condition? Does it harmonize with our position? Does it? Say, were you living in fellowship with God today? Enjoying Christ with him? Was I? And you know, he was sustained in the hour of trial, and I believe a man who is living for God like Stephen will be sustained when the trial comes. You know, living near to the Lord does something to a man so that when trials come, he's sustained. You know, he was very like the Lord Jesus. I don't know how it is, but the clock usually beats me. He was full of faith. Chapter 5, 6 and verse 5.
And like the Lord Jesus, who is faith's perfect example, and that's what you have in Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and verse 2. He's the pioneer and pattern of faith. Faith's perfect example. He was a man full of faith, full of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus, of course, was always controlled by the Holy Spirit. He chose to do his mighty works by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit was seen in him, and every virtue was in perfect balance with the rest. Oh, he's altogether lovely. You know, it thrills my soul to speak well of the Lord Jesus. Full of grace. Our Lord Jesus was full of grace and truth. He was full of the Word of God. Do you remember these words in Luke 24 and verse 7? He expounded or interpreted unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself to those two on the Emmaus road. Oh, it must have been a wonderful message. The Prince of Preachers going through the Old Testament and showing himself in the scriptures, in all the scriptures. And I'm sure it has seen himself in many places where we never see him. He reflected the glory of Christ. His face shone like that of an angel. But our Lord Jesus was the effulgence of the Father's glory. You know what the glory of God is, don't you? It's the very nature and character and attributes and power of God. Glory. Displayed excellence. The displayed excellence of his deity. And Darby says that word there that's translated in the King James Version, outshining of his glory, or effulgence, is also rendered. It means the glory that was displayed in Christ perfectly manifests the glory of the Father. Oh, not a mere reflection, but the outshining, the effulgence of the Father's glory. In him the Father's glory shine. And, you know, there are so many points that I could mention. You remember the Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, says Stephen, a man with a forgiving spirit. Have you got a forgiving spirit? I want you just to look with me at Mark 11. And I want you to notice what it says about when we pray. It says, when ye pray, forgive. When ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now that's what we are in the presence of God. And whether the offender has repented or not, in my heart I forgive him. Do you forgive in your heart? And even when the offender doesn't repent, do you forgive? Well, you should. Right on the spot. Right away. Oh, but you say, he has got to repent. Well, then we turn over to Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. And what does it say there? If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Now, if he tells you he's repentant, you can tell him you forgive him. That's administrating forgiveness. That's administering forgiveness. But always learn to forgive on the spot. in your heart, instant forgiveness. You'll be like the Lord Jesus, who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast Stephen out. And they cast him outside the city, and our Lord Jesus suffered without the gate. And when Stephen came to the end of his life, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The Lord Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Isn't he like the Lord? He's full of wisdom. And the Lord Jesus is wisdom personified. You know, as we live our lives controlled by the Spirit of God, we are going to manifest the moral loveliness of Christ. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's the display of the moral character of Christ in the believer. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Now my last point is this. When you turn over to chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. They lamented when he died. Oh, what a godly man he was, they might have said. What a man of God. I wonder, will they say that about you, dear brother, and me? Dear sister, will they lament over you because you are such a godly person? You had such an influence upon those young sisters. You, brother, you had such a wonderful effect upon those young brethren. You made them wish they were like you. I wonder, will they say this? There have been some Christians who, when they've died, haven't been missed for their godliness. And the Christians have sighed a sigh of relief. Yes, he was always making trouble. He was always a problem. Seems to me that Stephen was a man of prayer, you see. When it came to the end of his life, he knelt down and he prayed. His body went to sleep, but he went to be with the Lord. Say now, I've been asking myself this question. What do you know about prayer? Not as much as I should have known about it. Oh God, help me to remain in a prayerful attitude. You know, dear brethren, this is not sentimentality, this is reality. This is facing up to what we should be. Oh, I can tell you. And you can tell me too, all the blessedness when one is walking with God. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Father, bless the simple word tonight. We think, Lord, how that the Lord Jesus sustained his servant Stephen when he was facing death, and he was standing at the right hand of God as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, sustaining his servant in the hour of deep trial. We thank Thee, Lord, that we have such a great high priest who is merciful and gracious, and one who sustains us in the hour of our trial.
Oh, what a lovely person. Oh, no wonder the hymn writer says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord, bless thy word to all our hearts, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus.